Tonight on the Mac to the Future livecast, go. Only crooks have IMAX. There's a chance that your IMAC is crooked, and there's just no way to put a positive spin on that. It shouldn't come as a great surprise that Tim Cook doesn't want sideloading apps for iOS and iPadOS, and it has nothing to do, according to Tim, with how much Apple makes from the App Store. And a Democrat from Rhode Island wants to force Apple and others to divest themselves of their app development teams. All of that tonight, and most likely more, on the Mac to the Future livecast. Go. And good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Mac to the Future livecast. I am one of your humble hosts, Guy Searle, and it would not be the Mac to the Future livecast if, number one, we didn't have problems with audio before we began. And on that note, and it's not me this time, darn it, it was Warren Sklar. Hello there, Mr. Sklar. How are you?
I did have audio problems. Can you hear me now?
We can hear you now. We can hear you now. You're just like the Sprint guy. We hear you now,
and you know, life is tough when you have two houses, four computers, two mixers. I'm going back and forth for the summer, and I can't keep track of anything. So
yes, we feel your pain, Warren.
We feel your pain.
Yes, yes. Hello there, Mr. David Ginsburg. How are you, sir?
Doing well. Glad to be back after last week's long week of dub. I must have done at least six things last week.
Podcast related?
Podcasts and my Apple user group, iPhone special interest group with Kelly. Actually, Kelly was on with me. Cool. And Kelly was on 2 weeks in a row, so we had a lot of fun. So,
I can say to that is, okay.
So, good to be here.
It is. This is going to be that kind of show tonight, guys. Yeah. Let's get right into it. I don't think that we have all that much to talk about, but there are a couple of interesting things going on. Love or hate the new iMac, guys. You have to agree, it's an amazing looking computer. Unfortunately for some, that amazing bit might leap into the weird with some users noticing that the screen is not exactly on center and there's a notable tilt to the display. If you've just gotten yours, you might want to check it before your 14-day no questions asked return policy from Apple expires. Did either one of you hear anything about this?
No.
There was a guy who apparently got his new iMac, and he's a reporter for somebody, and looked at it, and he was kind of like, "There's something not quite right." So he checked it, and sure enough, his screen is like tilted to one side a little bit, and.
Sounds like a Chevy Nova.
Yeah, well, I mean,
I was going to say if it's a Tesla, it's within spec, and that's like one of the joking Tesla because the build quality is just terrible. I actually set one up though the day before this article came out. Put some pictures up on the Mac to Future group. It's really beautiful. First of all, the iMac looks better in person than it does on pictures. I think it gets a bad, some people hate the design. I liked it. The MagSafe thing was neat. You know, it's a little more involved with than just a magnet on the old MagSafe. You know, you really have to place it right and, play with it, but it's nice. The screen was good. I did a restore from a backup, time machine backup from a 2012 iMac, and it went fine. So
Wait, you have an iMac?
Yeah. No, I set it up for a client.
Oh, okay, okay.
And she, she loves it so far. But yeah, I would have totally tried to see if it was tilted. It might have been, to be honest with you. I didn't.
Well, I saw my first one in person. Last Saturday was my son Peter's 25th birthday, and as a gift to me, he went with me to Micro Center, which is a kind of a adult electronic playground here, series of stores here in the United States.
Best Buy.
And Best Buy's got nothing on Micro Center.
Oh, I know.
Micro Center is it's like the old Maplin's, kind of like back in England.
Or CompUSA.
You've never been to a Micro Center? I think there's one near Chicago. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, of course I have. There's two locations.
I love that store. And I almost bought a 65-inch TV while I was there, but I wasn't sure it was going to fit in the place where I have the 55-inch. Again, first world problems. You know, oh no, will that 65-inch TV fit in the space where my 55-inch one was before? So I didn't buy it, and I'm doing some looking right now, and I'll find out if it will fit, and then try to get a decent one at a good price. The weird thing is right now is like not the time to buy electronics. With everything right now with the supply chain so interrupted is so expensive, so I guess it shouldn't be too much of a surprise that.
I'm just annoyed that my picture is so much smaller.
Perfect. There you go, Dave. That's great.
Perfect. It's actually that Dave looks huge compared to us. Guy and me look like little twin brother. I don't know if you're in the same order as me.
My problem is I just have a big head to start with. I'm kind of a big guy.
Yes.
So, but getting now, you guys have seen in person these new iMacs, and
yes,
I have to say I saw, like I was saying, I was at Micro Center. I saw one for the first time. It was a purple one, which
that's the one I saw.
Would not be a color that would not be a color that I would choose for an iMac.
It wasn't bad. It didn't look bad.
But I don't know. But as I looked at it, it was kind of like, you know, that's pretty attractive. I kind of like the, and it's enough like the old one where they didn't make a radical departure from what it was before, but it's still different enough, especially with the colors that they're offering, that it's still a good looking machine. Now, of course, I hadn't read this story at the time I was in Micro Center, so I didn't think to check to see, was it 23 degrees on this side and 26 degrees on that side? I don't know.
Guy and Dave, yeah. I think we have a challenge. We should do the weekly challenge where each of us go to our local Apple stores and try to find the crooked iMacs and take the pictures.
Askew.
Yeah, I saw that one.
But that's every week.
Listen to my idea. We all go to our own Apple stores, and whoever can find the most crooked iMacs wins. And you could go to as many Apple stores in your area as you want. Yeah.
Okay, you know what? I'm tempted to do that just because it would give me a chance to go to some of the local Apple stores. It'd be like telling my wife, no, honey, I have to do this. It's part of the podcast.
Just don't buy another computer.
No, I won't.
The 24-inch
iMac does not tempt me at all.
Every Apple store opened. As of two days ago, every Apple store is open.
Full tilt.
Again. Yeah. It took... what did they say? 900 something days, I thought it was.
Well, it was going back to
that's too
March.
Many. There are 350.
That's way too many.
500? No.
I'd say about 500 would be more realistic. Yeah.
I don't think it would be 500 because it was back in March. Back in March when they shut them down.
Right. And then they finally eased into them now. So, yeah, it's maybe 450.
I got a haircut today. Yeah. I got a haircut today and I remembered. Yeah, and then we remembered that like a year ago we were cutting our own hair.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't.
I was. It wasn't pretty.
Because he has a flobby.
I do. And, you know, if I was really vain, I would, like, get some Brill Cream or something and, like, flip it up, cover my bald head, and then part it in the middle and have it come down Snidely Whiplash style.
Oh, that's something Willie weird Nelson. Like that. Well, that's Willie Nelson style there.
On the road well, again. Regardless
of the style, I have no intention of ever doing a comb-over. I've already told my wife, if you ever see me with a comb-over, just shoot me. Shoot me, because I've obviously become senile at that point. All right,
I'm pretty good here, but not that. Okay,
yeah, the three of us could talk about Mount Pettibaldus at the after show.
Let's not compare bald spots.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because you're gonna lose.
I know I am.
Yeah, but you got more hair. Badly. You got a lot of hair. You got a lot of hair in the rest of your face.
The tail
and your back. It grows on the bottom of your head and not the top of your head. It's upside down.
This show is
on a train wreck right now.
All right. New IMAX, God. Crooked. Bad.
Okay. Next. Crooked IMAX. And so we have each of us have to go to an Apple store before next week and do measurements to see how off they are. All right. Tim Cook, in an interview as part of the Viva Tech, and that isn't Taco Viva, but Viva Tech conference. Stated that Europe's Digital Markets Act is not in the best interests of the EU's users and should be reconsidered. While some laud forcing Apple to make changes to pre-installed apps from Apple, sideloading would lead to damaging both security and privacy, citing Android's 47 times amount of malware as compared to iOS. He also pushed back on charges that Apple is a monopoly when the company has around a 23% market share in France, which I'm guessing is where this conference is taking place. Frankly, unless Apple blocks other companies from making similar apps, I mean, really, it's probably in Apple's best interests at this point to make it so that users can dump the pre-installed apps for somebody else's apps and just make that easy to do. At which point this argument about Apple's, I guess, wouldn't totally go away, but it would put quite a dent in the argument that Apple is preventing other companies from making similar apps to the ones that they include. What do you think, Dave?
Yeah, I think just like the next story we're going to talk about here, just changing from pre-installed apps and sideloading, I agree it's going to cause issues with security and privacy because you're sideloading something that isn't being controlled. All you have the keyword in this text here is Android. I mean, Android has so many apps that are so rogue. I wouldn't be surprised that Apple would even allow it at this point. And like I said, a lot of malware as opposed to what's in the iOS, I don't think that would happen. So yeah, sideloading isn't going to happen anytime soon, I don't think. But I mean, it's in France, you know. I mean, I guess France could force them,
If one country forces Apple to allow for sideloading apps, Warren, do you think that would be an avalanche that would break the back of the App Store?
I think Apple would have to change. It wouldn't be if that happened, the OS as you know it would not be the same as it would be if that happened. Apple would make some kind of change where, I don't know, you would lose if you did that, you would lose functions of the phone. You can't FaceTime anymore or something like that. I think Apple, you know, would make changes in what they're doing because otherwise, you know, they have to still protect their system. Right. You know, but, you know, Tim Cook said all the right things. You know, he said what Apple wants them to say. And you know what? You know, there's money in it and they're allowed to make money. And, you know, Tim Cook, you know, reports to the board and they want money, so you know it's just crazy that it, you know, one of the things he can't say anymore is, you know, listen, we have a walled garden and we have it for a reason. And, you know, we're not a monopoly because everybody else could, you know, do their own thing. And if we want to charge 30%, that's what we're doing.
I think the problem is that the level of entry for other companies that make apps similar to Apple, especially if they're paid apps, is very, very high. It's difficult to, and you can look at like what happened with Internet Explorer when Microsoft made that free in Windows, and what happened to all of the companies that were charging for Netflix, web browsers,
Netscape.
Yeah, they all vanished because there was no way to compete with free. So the argument could be made that Apple having free apps that offer similar functionality to what other companies are charging for their apps could be construed as monopolistic behavior. The problem with it is no one is forcing these companies to make apps that compete with free apps. It's not like, because Netscape Navigator was like one of the first web browsers out there. And it wasn't until that became a thing that Microsoft created Internet Explorer and gave it away for free, which killed Netscape's business market. In this case, it's kind of the opposite, where Apple comes out with the iPhone and they have a series of applications that are default on the iPhone through iOS. And these other companies came in and said, well, let's make a mail app and let's make a movie creation app and let's make all these other apps. Oh, darn it, it's not fair because Apple is giving those away for free and we want to charge for them. So, you know, how I find it difficult to make the argument that Apple is engaging in monopolistic behavior when they were there first.
Well, I mean, Apple's also Sherlock comes, you know, they'll come out with a new feature that, you know, kills a company off, basically. Yeah. So that's
sure, that's where that's where that phrase came from.
Right. But so, I mean, again, it comes down to what's monopoly. I mean,
And what is monopolistic behavior? Right.
Exactly. I mean, if Apple said we're making all the apps and nobody could come into our store at all, is that, and, you know, and only we could, you know, we could sell apps to ourselves or whatever, and so nobody could come in, is that a monopoly since they could go to another platform, or is a platform a monopoly, or the whole system, I guess is what I'm asking.
Well, I think the argument is being made that since the only way to get applications is through the App Store, that Apple has a virtual monopoly on iOS apps, which is true. However, what they don't have is overwhelming market share in smartphones. Oh. So how can you make the argument that they're preventing other companies from making money in the smartphone marketplace when they don't even have one quarter of the total install base? And there's all these other platforms and all these other stores out there that they can sell their apps at. Android is still the overwhelming choice when it comes to smartphones. Right. Or at least
Developers are in a good place. I mean, right now, like, they could, you know, write something and, you know, publish it out to, you know, as many different platforms. They could write a Windows version. They could write a Mac version, an Android or an iPhone version. And, you know, if they work hard enough, they could get on every platform and make money that way. But since, you know, Apple takes a cut and Google takes a cut, that's the only difference, right?
Each of them, the thing is, Google, in the way that they set up Android, you don't have to get applications from the Google Play Store. There's a ton of different stores out there that you can get Android apps from, not necessarily safe places to go, and not necessarily are you going to get the application that you think you're getting. It could be ripped off from some other developer, which happens quite a bit. It happens quite a bit in iOS, but it's like, it's crazy insane.
Yeah, over but that's, nobody's arguing to Apple that it's not fair. You're not letting cracked apps into our store.
No. But what they're saying is that because you don't allow any other stores, that you know we are forced to pay you $99 a year for a development license, and we're forced to give you 15% to 30% of any money that is generated from either sales or subscription services in the iOS App Store, because Apple, being you know the gatekeeper, is well aware of all purchases that are made. They're well aware of all subscriptions and all money changing hands, because it all goes through Apple.
Would one of these stores be a national company, like a national company that would host a store? Follow me what I'm saying here. So you got, if this happened and you have multiple stores, that store is going to want to charge as well and take a cut. So it's really, I mean, because they won't survive otherwise, whatever service is doing it. So there's always going to be a cut, and they're all going to try to make money at this point. So, you know, everybody has this dream that, like, if you let anybody, you know, if you let different stores into the iOS system, that all the developers are just going to get together and run one, you know, public store. And that's not going to happen. It's going to be like another Amazon, which you could do a store on to install Android devices, where you're paying another company a portion of whatever you're, for a developer
to be on their platform.
To be on their platform, because that's how they get, you know, that's how they exist. So again, even if you open it up to other places to get it that are not illegal or dangerous, somebody else is going to take a cut from the developers no matter where you go.
What do you think, Dave?
Yeah, I mean, no matter what they're going to do, they're going to go to someplace else. I kind of like that comment Derek just said, but Apple does make more money than the Google Play Store. And they must be doing something right. I mean, they're paying out billions of dollars to these developers for their apps, and these developers are doing pretty well considering. So I don't know. I kind of agree of this whole topic. This can be damaging to security and to privacy for that matter. And I just be questioning. It's questionable if it has to be done, and if Apple will comply.
Well, they won't have any choice.
Yeah.
It's either you either comply or you stop making iOS or stop making iPhones.
Well, if it's countries, I mean, if it was a choice, country specific. If Apple had to choose between opening up iOS to other places or not selling phones in France, what do you think they would do? And I don't know the answer either.
They would probably try to fight it by possibly not selling iPhones in a particular store or country or region.
Right.
The problem though is, what if that country is the United States? And we're going to talk about that coming up here in a second. Or what if it's China? You know, or what if it's one of these other countries where a sizable amount of the number of phones that they sell come from that area? Yeah. You know, at what point do they either throw in the towel, which I can't see them doing, or do they go ahead and make the changes and make it as safe as they possibly can? And then when the inevitable happens, which is user privacy goes to crap and people's phones are getting hacked left and right. And for a lot of these countries, they'd probably welcome it because they'd be the ones doing the hacking. But at that point, Apple can say, see, I told you, but then it's too late.
Right. I mean, you know, everybody's going to say, well, if Steve Jobs was here, he would stop selling iPhones if they were going to make him change it.
I don't think that's true.
I don't know.
Not when the iPhone is the vast majority of Apple's profits. And if it was iPads, I could see it. If it was the Mac, even with the Mac, I could almost see the Mac. But for
Steve
now,
Jobs would, I don't think a big I don't FU, think, I think I don't know. he would do that, and he would. You know what? He would do that, and he would invent something better that would do
with the market share that Apple had when he was alive. I would say, yeah, he might. But when you look at just the sheer amount of money that's coming into Apple, just based on iOS and the iPhone, that's a hard nut to swallow. That's not even the right analogy, but you guys know what I'm saying. That bird doesn't fly far from that tree. Something along those lines. All right. On a similar note, and this is the last story I have for tonight. Oh, you got something, Dave. U.S. Representative David Cicilli, I think that's his name. He's a Democrat from Rhode Island, says he's backing silly. A bill that would. What is it? He is silly. David Cicilli, that's what we're going to call him. He's backing a bill that would prevent Apple from installing its own apps on devices it manufactures. He told Bloomberg that a bill currently introduced would do just that and wouldn't be limited to Apple, but include offerings from Google and Android. Another bill would force these companies to split their app developments into a different company independent of Maine. I'm going to start with Dave. What are your thoughts on that, Dave?
Crazy. What difference does it make? Apple is allowing other companies to put their default apps. They opened that up for a reason. And then they've been doing it nonstop with mail, with browsers, with other apps. And they've got third-party APIs they opened up with FaceTime and others from DubDub from last week. I mean, why do we need to do this? It doesn't make any sense to me.
Because it gets them front page.
Exactly. I mean, it's just okay. That you now got everybody's attention. I just don't see this getting through the the Senate.
What do you think, Warren?
I think Apple should create a spinoff company called like Apple, with Tom Cook as the Tom Cook would be the CIO, and then they just have that company make their software, and that everything's good.
Well, then they got that great guy in charge of marketing, Jeff Farrago. So, it's wonderful, wonderful company.
They have a Air Force too.
Yeah. And their big competition would be Microsoft. Got it.
Yeah.
And Gaggle.
like McDonald's as opposed to McDonald's.
I think these. In any case, these guys are on drugs. There's no way that they're going to convince Apple to.
Oh, come on. He's a U.S. representative. He doesn't do drugs.
They're allowed to promote their own shit.
How could this be a law that the House and Senate could push through is beyond me.
I don't think that this is something that will be passed. I don't think it's something that David Cicilli, Democrat from Rad Island.
The small state in the union.
Silliesville. Let's just call it Silliesville. Democrat from Silliesville. I don't think he even expects it to pass. I think the problem is a lot of these people in the U.S. Senate and the U.S. House. I want to word this very, very carefully. Seem to think that Twitter is real. That you can generate laws based on what certain people on Twitter say, instead of actually looking at what it is that you're doing and saying, what the hell are you even thinking about?
I mean,
so I get off the people social on media, David Cicilli. Social media is not your friend. You're this close to being canceled. This close.
There's a whole bunch of Twitter users that are interested in getting Apple to not promote their stuff so much because they want their stuff high too. So you're always going to find a group on Twitter that's going to not agree with you at all.
Well, you're always going to find a group of people on Twitter that don't agree with anybody other than themselves. It's their little circle jerk of moronic fans.
Well, you got everybody like wanting like cheaper stuff and Apple's, too expensive, blah, blah, blah. I mean, that's because they're loud.
Then buy an Android phone. Buy a friggin' flip phone. They're real cheap now. They're super cheap. It might take you, 30 minutes to write a complete text message, but they're really cheap. Go ahead. Go to Mint Mobile.
Sooner or later, they'll discontinue the use of those phones.
Yeah, Deadpool, well, Mint Mobile. Go there.
Pat, people are cheap too. You know, people. You know, people want the iPhone, but they're cheap, and they
right.
They want. Okay,
so go buy a cheap Android. I mean,
yeah, knock yourself out.
Get a job. Get a better job.
Yeah, get a better job. You're not entitled to stuff just because you want it. That's the way the world works everywhere. Okay, I think that's all I got for tonight. What's this one you got there, Dave?
No, I wanted to bring this up. I talked about this briefly last night on Mac Voices Live. iPad OS 15. You know, they did a lot of announcements through Dub, and you know we went through each of the features that were really key here, but people are starting to find things, you know, kind of, I don't know, Easter eggs, you can call it that, and others. This one helped, just kind of stood out to me because the Files app, it's gaining more support for access to files. Specifically, if anybody has a drive that's formatted in Windows for NTFS, it is going to support it now. It didn't before.
Really?
It's going to support the access to the drive, so you can – it's read-only. But, I mean, if someone gives you a drive that's from the Windows world formatted in NTFS, you can now plug this into an iPad, an iPad OS 15, and be able to get the files that are on that particular drive.
And copy it over
into the Files app on the iPad. And so just like a Mac OS, you can do that same thing with an NTFS device, but now you can at least now copy it onto an iPad. The other thing too is the progress indicator. That was always annoying when you were copying something from
and you had no idea how long it was.
This was also discovered that you have a process indicator that's actually going to show you how much longer you have until the file finally copies over. I think that's great.
Before you go any farther, let's remember one thing. Even on the Mac, when it says, "Oh, it's going to take you another minute or two,"
right? It's always. You really don't know. But this is an extra indicator.
At least it's giving you hope instead of just, I'm copying. Oh, you want to know when I'm going to be done?
No.
Too bad.
Yeah.
I'll be done when I'm done. All right?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
I'm iOS 13, and I'll be done when I'm done.
Yeah. And then the last thing in this article was that if you are using a mouse or a trackpad, it is now possible to click and hold and drag a selection over multiple files and folders to perform batch actions such as compress, move, copy, and so on. You couldn't do that on iPad before. So, and then you can also use groups as a view option. So the files and folders are arranged in the screen separate sections according to what kind of files they are. So.
Yeah.
It's getting there.
That shows up right into the dock.
You're really burning up the F on this stuff.
Well, I mean, it's getting there. I think, as much as people are bellyaching about, you know, they didn't release a lot of great features for iPad OS, at least we've got some progress here with some stuff that, especially with the Files app, because that was always the complaint. It's very hard to navigate the Files app on iPad and be able to have a good experience. And again, people are more and more are holding out hope to make the iPad their full time device. We're a lot closer than we were, you know, 3 years ago. So
yeah, and when you consider some of the new multi app choices that you have, because it used to be you basically had one or two ways to open up multiple applications at the same time. Now you've got three or four, and the ways that they're introducing make it easier than it was before. I still won't say that it's easy because it still involves a number of steps that
it does
just seem ridiculous when you have mouse support and everything else. And I think the one thing I would love to see on the iPad is resizable windows. So that you could have multiple apps open.
I was going to say with the Files app real fast is that's the big problem is because,
right.
You know, generally you want to have two Finder windows open to copy from one thing to another too.
Well, you still can. You can do that with this.
You could do that on an iPad, but you have to
open up two instances of the Files app. at the same time, side by side.
You heard it. Split screen, yeah. But can you drag it across the screen?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you can do that with what's that, the new thing with Monterey, the enhancement to sidecar. You can be dragging between an iPad and a Mac and be able to drag things across.
Yes.
Right. But I'm just wondering if you could drag it from the files app to the other file app on the iPad.
Yes. I haven't tried it, but I think it's possible.
I've seen videos that show what happened.
Yeah. Right. So, that's just a small bit. There's so much other stuff out there. You just go on YouTube and watch millions of hours of stuff that people have done. And there's just little things that Apple didn't talk about or say anything about that they've added. And even was mentioned during the Dub Dub's sessions after the keynote, you know, there's a lot of stuff that was announced that people didn't really care about because it's, you know, it's a developer type of thing. So.
There's a hidden setting that says Mac OS mode.
Yeah,
that I didn't see.
I need that to be an app that I can sideload.
That I didn't see.
Where I've got all the menus across the top of the window instead of across the top of the screen. Anyway, that's all we got for tonight.
Yeah.
We're gonna do our little outro here, Dave. If people wanted to find you and find you fast, how would they do so?
They would do this at In Touch with iOS at intouchwithios.com. This week's guests are going to be my friend Brian and his son Holden DePardo. They're coming back onto the show tomorrow, and we're going to have some fun with that. And also find me on Mac Voices Live on Tuesday nights. We'll have a lot of fun. We missed you yesterday, guys. Yeah. And also find me on the Mac Show on the British Tech Network on Fridays. And you find me here, and you find me Suburban Chicago Apple Users and doing all kinds of stuff there, including I just did an iPhone special interest with Kelly. People. So, and then Dave G65 is my Twitter handle. Thank you.
Okay. Warren. Whoa.
What?
You've gotten smaller and farther away. How can people find you, but it's like I don't know.
I'm trying to escape.
Yeah, I know he's there someplace. Your shirt blends in with the background. Yeah. Oh, he's gone.
Where'd he go? Anyways, you could if you find Dave, tell him to find me, and that's where he'll find me.
All kinds of stuff over there at Facebooks. Mm-hmm. Okay, if you would like to get a hold of me, the email address is guy@mymac.com. I have two different Twitter accounts, MacParrot and VertShark. And, of course, there's the VertShark.com website where you can see all the vids. And if you also see all the vids over there on the Tubes of You, just do a search for VertShark. The stuff from Guy's Daily Drive, which I recorded a new one today. I've got to work on that after I'm done with this. And as well as Chuck's Tuesday Night Mac Voices that I missed last night. And the MyMac.com podcast that I do with Gaz over 10 years now. We're coming up on, I won't say we're coming up on 11 years because that won't be till next March. But it's a solid 10 years. Solid. So solid. All right.
Sound like a rock.
Solid like a rock. I had a friend of mine from Fort Lauderdale today tell me he's now listening to music he hated in the 70s.
And that's one of the songs.
And yeah, that was one of the, and a lot of it, he actually mentioned a few disco groups. And I was like, dude, Deep Purple, Led Zeppelin, really? And now you've gone to Casey and the Sunshine Band. How dare you, sir? Dare you?
And the Bee Gees.
I realized recently that I like Rush.
Sgt. Pepper Bee Gees.
Recently? I've been a huge Rush fan.
One of the worst movies ever made.
Which one? Since I've been doing
Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band with Peter Frampton and the Bee Gees.
Yeah, it's bad.
What were you thinking? What were any of you thinking when you made that movie? And the weird thing, I know this is completely off topic. A girl I was dating at the time loved that movie. We went to see it under duress from me the first time because I knew how bad it was going to be. And it was. And I stayed through the whole movie. And then the next weekend came up and she was like, well, let's go see it again. I was like,
No.
No. No. Which may or may not have led to our breakup at some point down the line. But I was not going to pay good money to see that movie again. And we have a couple comments before we go. Let's see. Yeah. Warren needs to play outro on the keyboard. I don't, you can't even tell you how it goes, but that is going to play, do it.
That would screw up the MIDI. I'll play with it after the show because it's all connected. And
okay, yeah. So if anybody wants to see that, Warren is going to attempt that once we leave and we're getting ready to go. So say goodnight, Dave. Say goodnight, Warren.
Goodnight, Dave.
Say goodnight, Dave. Say goodnight, Warren.
Yeah, that's close enough. All right, goodnight, everybody. Whoa, what happened there? The whole thing just...